Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
So back on the march, guys are alive. Do you have anything to say to one another? Does anybody want to take a rest? I think some people have taken some damage.
I would like to take a rest. Yes. Which how that work?
Great question, Drew. Does Navasi have medicine?
Yes, she does.
And I'm hoping some kind of medical kit in their equipment. I forget if there is or not.
No, I have a med patch, but I don't have I have an infiltrator's toolkit and a hacking toolkit, but I don't have a medical bag.
No, if the med patch is supposed to replace that or not, how that's going to work. I suppose this is something we can look at the rule
it's
book.
It's consumable. For. It's just 1d6. So I think it's just basically a potion.
Yes, I'm just saying in Pathfinder 2e, you do need a healer's toolkit for healing. But I don't know if something similar is going to be required in Starfinder. So I'm actually going to take it to the book.
Yeah, it's like, you know, well, I'm used to having stamina points and, you know, take a little break.
Erasing one from a number and then getting all your SP back.
Med patches accelerate the body's natural healing process and immune system. Activate and apply. You regain the listed number of hit points and gain an item bonus to saving throws against disease and poison for 10 minutes. You just slap the bad boy on.
Yes, that. Administer first aid under medicine, as well as treat wounds, seem to work exactly like they do in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, which means I think you would need some medical tools to use. So perhaps in this playtest, they are expecting you to use these med patches.
Or they're expecting you to have a mystic rolling around with you that can heal all this stuff pretty easily.
I mean, perhaps too easily. Man, they were chick real good. Yeah. Real good. So yeah, is it, I'm pretty sure the commercial med patch just works like a healing serum, which does not seem to be in the playtest. So maybe they're going away from them. But yeah, it's just a single action to manipulate. And do you want to roll the D6?
Yep. You know that I don't, listeners that have listened to us for a long time. You know that I don't. It's a consumable item. I don't want to do it. I really don't want to do it.
Hey, that's most of those hit points back, buddy. Look at this. 5 on the dice. What about Zamir? Miles, you got any healing potions, lotions? You guys spells, right?
I don't know if I have any healing. I have a hypopen and a med patch.
The med patch will be the one that heal. I think the hypopen is for poisons and or diseases.
What does it do? It's removing the fatigued condition or decreasing the value of clumsy or sickened.
Okay. Well, I have a med patch.
All right, feel free to roll it. D6.
1d6 plus 1.
6.
Oh, all my right. Gosh. Maximizing right. That med patch.
As soon as you change the name from serums to med patches, we're back in business. Back in business. Right, as you're maybe taking a little break and applying these patches. Well, I guess I should ask, does Obaziah or Day want to use one? You've only taken 4 points of damage, but...
Yo, one of those med patches is 300 credits.
Is it?
Yeah. Drew, you used a 300 credit item, my man.
No, the level 5 is 300 credits. The level 1 is 30.
Oh, see, you ruined my...
Ah, Patrick, listing out the actual rules.
You ruined my fun.
Honestly, I would have 30
credits is pretty expensive still.
Yeah.
Because you got to start with 150 credits, I think, for level 1 characters. So, I mean, that's like right. A fifth of your total.
It's a little much. It's a little much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So as you guys are resting up and patching up, is there anything you all have to say about the mission that you're on, or the perhaps impending doom that is about to befall this planet if you are to fail?
You know, in all my time as a Starfinder, I've been against pirates, outlaws, warlords, corporate goons. Never had to run from the sky, but here we are.
Navazi's voice sounds different.
That's what Navazi's always sounded like, Rebecca. What are you talking about?
What? Is Day got anything to say?
Excited Day about the mission? Is like, this is fun and all, but I've got to get back. I've got a gig, so no dying. You got me? You got me?
Do you have her, everyone? Answer. Day's asking a question.
I just hope that after all this, they don't try to pay us off in rocks or something. Not like I can buy more ammunition with a bunch of shiny stones.
They do, but the rocks are their children. They're like, you must care for them now.
It's no.
Just a bunch of like skipping stones.
Vesk family's already so large. I don't need more stone mouths to feed.
Zamir, any thoughts on your mission to save perhaps an entire planet from destruction?
I mean, I guess Zamir would be kind of like ambivalent. Like if there's something to be learned from it, I think he's down, but yeah,
this is like a time capsule of a planet that has been completely frozen for millennia.
Yeah, so I mean, there is some there's some value to that to him. So I think he's in favor of saving the planet, but he's not going to be torn up if something happens to it.
Well, you guys had your chance to get out of this. a few 10 minutes or so ago when they offered you to go back to the stylus of destiny, but no more explosions from the sky. But as you are getting done healing up your wounds, you hear a whirring noise, kind of a artificial sounding, kind of buzzing almost, making its way through the tree line. There's like, and then you hear another source of this sound, perhaps coming from the southeast, another one from the northeast. I'm gonna take us to a new map. Oh, that's right. This is a two map adventure.
Oh no.
As you see these things flying towards you, wobbly armed, tons of different perhaps weapons and other devices on a floating orb that looks like it is burning some kind of magical energy to accelerate through the woods here. Perhaps the buzzing sound is this electro buzzsaw on one of its arms. It seems to have like almost like a gun and like a grippers on another. There's a number of these drone looking things coming in your guys's direction. Let's roll into the initiative turn order. Let's roll.
I can't.
Yeah.
Why is this not working? I can't select my character.
I can't.
I put you onto a new map, so.
I just dragged out a new version of myself.
Yeah, I'm not doing all that.
Oh, boy. Just pull it over, Miles, and roll your stupid initiative.
It's so funny.
Mine works.
Yeah, I don't know why some of them work, some of them don't. I blame whoever made this map. They were probably high when they did it, so.
Why can I not? I can't even add my character.
I can't either.
Just drag it over. What do you mean?
I dragged it over and it's not doing anything.
It's not doing anything for me either.
I mean, they were just made wrong. I don't know. I did this in like an afternoon. I don't know what you guys want from me.
this is an operation perfect roll 20 sheets. All right, this is
Germany crikey.
This is playtest perfection.
Anyway, I blame Drew's birthday as always. All right, here we go. Here's the ones from the other map. You can all move these.
Yeah, I can move that one.
Bingo, bingo. Ah, ha. Ah. Click on the character, roll the initiative. I'm going to roll my own initiative, and I'm rolling a D100 because I can. Not because I slipped. Okay. Much better. Better-ish. You guys? Oh, you guys not so much. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. All right, well, I'm going first. I rolled a 15, and everyone else rolled single digits? What we got here? Two twos, a four, and a seven. Okay, cool. I don't even know what these drones have for initiative. It's a lot. It's a lot. Okay. Let's see.
By the way, Day is, I'm going to say, photon attuned.
A classic attunement for Solarian.
We're just making proclamations about our character. Navasi's fully healed and actually has 10 more HP than she normally has.
No, it's something I do when I roll initiative, you weirdo.
Yeah, Drew. Weirdo. All right, just because Drew is so weird and it's no longer his birthday, this drone is going to move closest to Navasi, the one on the western side, and make a ranged attack. You see the thing that kind of looks like a gun on one of its drone arms actually blast you with pressurized water, which works like the spell hydraulic push, which is a lot of fun. And I'm guessing he's going to use this bonus to attack. What is Navasi's armor class, Drew?
Am I getting super soaked right now?
You're getting blasted with what is described on the drone as a fire suppressor, a torrent of water. Blast
Nickelodeon slime.
16.
Alrighty, a 4 on the dice, so that is going to be a success. Oh boy, I was reading what the critical success is. Oh geez Louise. All right, so you are knocked back 5 feet, just right into Obaziah, and this is 3d6 damage coming your way.
3d6?
Yeah, chew on that. I've rolled pretty well as well. 12.
Navasi's down.
Points of let me double check this. Hydraulic push.
Are you sure?
Yeah, defense AC. Success. Target takes 3d6 bludgeoning damage. Just knocked back 5 feet. Yep.
And they can all do this. So rip the dream, my friends. I think Patrick's on the juice.
Well, it was a good run for the old Shard Planet crew. They're not going to be singing your praises after this. These other two are going to fly in. They're about 30 feet up, by the way.
Once again, they mean for you to run this with a mystic.
Did you guys use all your med patches?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I mean, to be fair, Obaziah doesn't even have a med patch.
Day has two, according to the character sheet.
Oh, Day did not have those.
Oh, you just didn't want you just didn't want to share? That's okay.
Okay.
I like the self-preservation.
Are going to both move in closer, still hovering about 30 feet up, and take shots with a laser pistol attachment. And I'm going to roll to see who I do not attack of the folks that are up. 1, 2, 3. Zamir. So we're going to attack one to Day and one to Obaziah. Let's do Day first. One from the south. Make a blast against you. Yep, that's going to hit a 17 on the dice. Or only much less damage.
It's 4d20 damage, so don't worry. It's fine.
hold on.
Holding.
Oh, wait. What kind of attack is this?
Ranged?
Fired?
Okay. You get blasted for max damage, 6 points of fire damage. Obaziah.
Yeah, what's up?
Attack coming to you.
Only six points?
Ooh. Yeah, it's just a standard attack. 6 points of fire for Day. I've rolled a 14 for Obaziah, which is going to be a hit, I'm pretty sure. And another 6 points max damage. Oh, goodness gracious. Is there supposed to be three of these drones? Let me just double check this. Yep. All right, that is their turn.
It'll be a short combat, folks.
Obaziah, you are up next.
Okay, let's...
Remember the last week's combat where you all rolled, like, much faster than the turtle? This is the payback fight.
I'm going to... Well, what do I want to do? Does Day have... Day uses guns?
No.
Day has a gun, but they also got the old finger blast.
Okay. Wait, what? You mean
finger like blast? No, look at the character's
solar
art.
Shot. So yeah, solar shot would be.
Okay. Let me rephrase. You're ranged, right?
Well, I mean, not primarily, but I do have solar shot as a ranged attack.
Okay. But you're primarily melee. Gotcha.
I won't bother with that.
I guess I am going to move, drawing the Doshko. I'm going to move to this northern one. And will...
It's 30 feet up in the air.
Oh, right.
I only said that a couple times on my turn.
You suck. Well, yeah, but you can't see that on a top-down map.
I do not. Mike Kimmel sucks.
Yeah, they do. Wow. Okay, well, I'll just take a shot. That is.
Oh, no. Do the thing you're super effective at. Your class was built to do. Oh. Say it isn't so.
It's not great when it's just one of them. Then I'm just as good as anybody else.
I don't agree with that anymore because you really goofed up that score-ish. Real goof.
Yeah, but I'm not going to make... I'm not going to be making area attacks against these. I'm not going to auto-fire on them.
Okay, you don't have to.
Yeah, so... okay. Let's just see what one shot does. Let's just
What if you just destroy this one?
And yeah, maybe they have really low hit points. So let's figure it out. First, 18.
18 against AC is a hit.
All right. 4 points of damage.
Okay. Yeah. You blast a solid hole through this thing. Doesn't look like it has a lot of internal parts left after a bullet has torn through it. It's not paper thin, but it's also not super well armored as well. You notice from the shot.
Second attack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use a hero point.
6 on the dice. Yeah, going to need a bit higher number there.
All right.
Okay, that is also a 9 on the dice for this hero point. That is a miss.
I guess we're going to go Hail Mary on the third.
Okay, yeah. I mean, natural.
Oh, no. Let's do another barricade facing the northernmost. If they're 30 feet up, would the barricade even help me?
From that direction, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
From the one that shot, yeah. Okay, barricaded. Zamir or Day, you've both rolled a 7. Who would like to go next?
Okay. Go ahead, Miles.
Okay. Zamir is going to use Eldritch Lance against the northernmost drone.
I don't know if this does this work. I forget if there's one that's a mental attack, and this might be it.
This is a beam of it's mind assaulting Eldritch energy, but it doesn't say if it's.
I'm gonna click it myself to see it come up here. Yeah, it's got the mental trait, so I don't think it's gonna work because you can pretty easily tell these are. Robots.
Why even give me this character? It's useless. All right. I'm going to use Grim Tendrils.
Okay. Now this one is a ranged attack. I think 30 feet. So you might have to kind of move underneath one of them. Pretty sure. Okay. Can you click that one as well? This one's just going to be a save for them, but...
Yeah, I'll click it. Give me 1 second. Boop.
Yeah, fortitude save. It's a void arcane spell. Tendrils of darkness curl out from your fingertips, racing through the air. It is a 30-foot line, so you'll have to be like right underneath one of them. Do you want to do this one that attacked Obaziah, or do you want to do one of the other ones?
This is the one that attacked Obaziah, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Right underneath it, and I got to make a DC 17 fortitude save. Fortitude, not their best, not their worst. But it's their worst today. Critical fail.
Woo! All right. The creature takes double void damage and double persistent bleed damage.
I don't think it's bleeding, but...
I don't think we're going to have to worry about any persistent as well, because...
4d4?
Yeah, basically 4d4.
All right.
So unless 4 ones come up... Ah, nice.
Tyler, why?
I was trying. I tried my best.
Yeah. This one drops to the ground as the tendrils just kind of rip it apart mid-air. Indeed, little sparks fly down at your feet, Zamir, as this one goes down hard. Day, we're on to you. There's 2 more of these things left. Navasi, unconscious next to you.
Gosh,
What would you like Day to do?
Okay, the one to the west, is it also 30 feet up?
Correct.
I had a really cool wombo combo idea, but I can't do it if they're that far up.
They're pretty far.
Maybe 15 feet instead?
They cannot.
Okay.
Blame Mike Kimmel. It says very specifically what they do. They remain about 30 feet in the air. Look at them go.
This game really wants to be like, so, hey, Starfinder guys, you used to like melee?
You should probably invest in some.
Put those swords ranged away and pull out them guns.
Some range combat-y.
What I want to do is use Stellar Rush to lay fire on the ground and then use Solar Shot to shoot him out of the sky. But the Graviton attuned Solar Shot is only 15 foot, so that's not an option. So instead, I am going to, I guess, stand like underneath it and shoot up at it.
You don't want to heal Drew, who's the only one that...
I mean, how many actions would it take to take out a med patch and slap it on Bossy? Well, I can't do that and move and shoot, so...
No. I mean, but you can. You don't have to move. You can just take a shot.
Yes.
Can I?
Yeah.
What's the hypotenuse?
Well, if it's out of, if you're not under it, and is your range only 30 feet?
Yeah, 30 feet.
Take a -2 penalty to the shots.
Yes. Just makes the shot harder.
Okay, but I can still do it.
You know, yeah. If you had get him on this thing, that -2 penalty wouldn't even matter.
Well, it'll only give him +1, but then Drew gets to take a turn, and it's like a late birthday present.
If you hadn't gone into combat with such little hit points, Drew, we wouldn't even be having that conversation.
Okay, I'll pull out the med patch and slap it on Navazi's arm.
Okay, no. Now, big question, who's going to roll that D6? Drew, do you trust yourself?
No, you want me to do it? Right. I don't trust me either, but here goes. It's a two
hit points back to the big gal. Drew's back in.
How many credits? 30 credits? 30 credits for two hit points.
Yeah, totally worth it.
I mean, he might have the first Starfinder 2E character death on the podcast because of that, so that's nice.
No, you're shooting right away.
You want to take that shot now? This one that
yep. All right.
Took Namasi down?
Yeah, and I'm photon attuned, so this is the photon solar shot. It's only a 13.
Really, 11.
Of range.
That is a miss.
Can I hero point that?
Do you have a hero point? Yeah, go for it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, natural point! What a hero point!
Oh, solar shot, who needs?
So you use a reroll.
Who needs getting within range? Yes, you take a careful aim and you get a little pathra luck as your whiskers twitch and you land a fiery blast that knocks this one right out of the sky.
Oh, is it dead?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, it has a critical effect. But I didn't get to use
its body is still on fire, Rebecca. Yeah. It's just not taking any of the damage from
persistent
it.
Fire on the body. And now, Drew gets to go. Drew, you're on the ground.
All right.
Alive.
Obazai, did you put up a barricade somewhere?
I did. You can get behind it and take the cover action.
Right, well, I'm just going to... What direction is it facing? Does that even matter?
It's the blue thing on the map.
You'll want it between... you and the other robot if you're worried about the other robot. I'm not gonna lie, Drew, I'm gonna roll randomly to see who this robot attacks next turn. And
get behind that wall, my man.
I wanted okay, so we're gonna get him this this robot down here. Mm-hmm. We're gonna move slightly to the north and we're
crawling
going to
behind the wall,
take cover, which gives me, if so, normally it's +2 bonus to AC. But if there is something that gives me standard cover, it's a +4 bonus to AC.
I think take cover is a reflex in response to...
It's AC and reflex and stealth.
Yeah, +4 circumstance bonus to AC, reflex saves, area effects, stealth checks to hide, sneak, or otherwise avoid detection.
Is it not a...
Not, I it is a... It's got the little...
It's not in the playtest. It's in the archives.
Square icon.
to the playtest rule book.
I don't think the cover rules are in the playtest rule book. That's what I'm saying. I think they in.
No, this just, this is a special ability. I'm pretty sure for.
You're talking about his ability. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just standard cover rules from Pathfinder 2E.
I put it in the general.
Oh, I'm thinking of Get Down, I think, which is a reflex for ability for soldiers, right? I honestly don't remember Nabossi's thing. If this is like a, it must not be a
onboard ability.
Yeah, yeah. This must be just like a class or a ancestry feat. So if you take cover, which is an action, you're getting +4 bonus now. Is that what you're saying?
+4 to AC, reflex saves against area effects.
You think stealth that's going to hide, save you, Drew. Sneak, you
or think? Otherwise avoid detection.
Nabossi's dead canonically if this happens. I am taking my final turn here, likely, as this robot drone. And I'm going to roll randomly to see who it attacks, because it is indeed, we got Obazai and the one, Zamir to Day 3 and Nabossi 4. I'm just going to roll a D4. Simple as that. See what happens. 1, it's going right for Obazai. Obaziah, please make
shoot the big lady.
Armor class?
You're blasting me. Are you blasting?
Oh, it's hydraulic blast time. Yeah. Okay.
I am well within murder range. My AC is 18.
Okay. I've just rolled a hit.
Oh, I'm gonna go down, folks.
It's 3d6 coming at you. 8 points of damage.
Ooh, we're still up. Thank you for the low roll. Thank you.
Then it is your turn, Obaziah.
Hold on. I typoed on my health point. Hit points. Okay, never mind. Who cares? I'm going to shoot the drone.
You sure you don't want to do that area fire, just spray up in the air?
Would you like me to for fun?
I mean, it's up to you. I just think it's a very good ability.
It just chews through ammo, and based on my equipment list, I don't have more. So,
well, I mean, we are spoiler warning. This is like the end of the scenario. So, it's
up to you. Okay. Well, then just click.
Yeah, I think you only used it like once, but. It takes up three rounds to
primary
fire.
Yeah, I'm now just over halfway through the magazine.
So first things first, I take a reflex save for the area effect. Okay. Yes. Reflex is the robot's best, so it's going to try its best to dodge out of the way. Ooh, and it does. What's the DC?
You do get a -1 to this reflex save because of
Oh, yeah. Get him does minus to AC and reflex. That's good.
My class DC is 17, which is what I'm assuming it's based off of.
Okay. So, unfortunately, I did roll a critical success on that, even with the -1, Drew. You're meddling, Drew. But that was close to knocking it down to just a regular success. A 19 on the dice.
Yeah, so I believe you just ignore everything but the critical, so...
Yes, but you can still make your attack with primary target, which is my, I think it's pretty good. Oh no.
Can I use my second hero point?
I think at this point we call them half hero points or quarter hero points.
Can I use my hero point half?
But you have a third action?
No, yes, I do. So
I'll want to attack again?
My second...
Yeah, I still think this is only the second attack. I think area attack only counts as one.
Yes, so this will be second. Okay. Natural 20!
Critical!
Oh, but I kind of low rolled the damage. Is 12 enough?
12 is, yes, more than enough.
Okay.
These guys had 8 hit points. This thing falls to the ground as well. Just...
Clutched out a critical at the end.
2 crits there. Yeah.
40 points.
Oh, that's twice as many as Drew's got. Yeah, this could be pretty deadly with they are only able to do hydraulic push once each before yeah. And they have to go back to a water source and regen, they say, but he didn't get that's, three
level
such,
one
such that's, a brutal attack.
That's so brutal. What's 3d6? So I mean, it's averaging 9
and it's a level one spell. Yeah,
18. Ow,
love it. Right, so indeed these do look like they are Alethi Alliance made. They look like they're of the planet, and you realize that they are probably guarding this next tower as you come to a pristine part of the jungle. Looks very much like the first site that you landed at, but there is a fully powered Magitech tower as you watch perhaps Zamir in the lead of you guys move up to it. All the rocks in the nearby area seem to be glowing and humming with energy as this site is very in balance with nature and is able to fully infuse this tower with energy. As you're kind of moving the runes around in the way that the Alethi Alliance folks and our new best friend, Glaric Actothosorak, told you how to work it. You see it kind of begin to power up, and all the energy from the nearby rocks seem to like kind of trickle almost like a river through the forest floor here and climb up the sides. I mean, it's hard to describe it, not in a video game way, but you see all the little divots and rivulets in the Magitech tower begin to charge up like a battery, kind of glowing before it shoots a giant energy beam into the sky that you see striking the dome, the collapsing energy field miles above you. And as it does, instead of shattering, you see it slowly begin to dissipate, kind of like a mist. It forms just atomizes above you. And even you watch in the distance as the area you passed over or under that was breaking into shards seems to dissipate as well. And this, it does form like a mist of energy that forms a big old rainbow of light and magical energy that kind of glows across the sky here. It seems like kind of mission accomplished as the entire dome begins to give way. You guys get on the comms and can hear all the folks celebrating back at the other site. Mehusel and the other folks you hear in the background the Alethi are very excited, and then on the horn comes once more the head priest of Weydan and the captain of the Silas of Destiny, the reassuring voice of Expedite 8 is their name. I said like wrong 8 times a couple weeks ago. Expedite 8 is like, you all have done it. You have successfully destroyed the dome. Congratulations. There is much for us to learn here now that the planet is not facing immediate destruction. Congratulations, Starfinders. Do you guys have anything to say to your adoring Waydenite new friends, the Alethi Alliance? You can go back to camp and have a little nub-nub party with them. little Ewok action.
I think I'll write a song about this little adventure we've had on your planet. It's a very interesting place.
I'm going to call it...
Sky is falling, very poetic.
Shards of the Glass Planet, the song.
Obaziah has dragged back the three drones and is like ripped off the little like fang blade knives, which I'm sure they're like knives to her, and she's like, dramatizing the fight in a way that makes us look less like we almost died to a bunch of water shots.
Galeric Akhtothosorek has had a speech spell cast on them in the meantime. And they're like, oh, yeah, I was trying to warn you about those. You guys didn't understand the... I was making all the drone attack warnings that I could. Sorry.
And then all of our team in unison at once says, Galeric.
Yeah. And then, and then I run him through with one of the fang blades.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
That's a mating signal for our people. You like Galeric Akhtothosorek?
I run the second blade through.
No, that is not allowed. That is taboo in Aladdin culture. How dare you?
Oh, but I have one more fang blade. Should we go the whole way?
Gross, but okay. That's how Obaziah rolls.
I'll run that third one through.
you're like popping out the Rubik's Cube blocks on their head. They're like, oh no, ouch. That's not cool. Or maybe you're just like scraping off. It looks like there's mushrooms on their heads, their character art.
We'll try to
cook them up. Like these aliens a lot. I'm absolutely certain we're never getting them as a plant history, these rock-headed weirdos, but I enjoy them. Yeah, you guys are pretty darn successful here, I think, with all that you've done. Because of how successful you are exploring the first site, you're super successful in the communications with the Alethi. What else? You only had one round of the shards dropping down on you. Technically didn't die to the repair droids.
That by far was the closest thing, because
as we fade out on the planet of Burnham's Bubble, which has a very long name in Alethi, over the next few weeks, the Alliance is very eager to catch up to the rest of the universe, or maybe reestablish itself in this modern era. There are still many members of this society, as the cities come back online and people come out of hiding, that are super worried about the Civ Dominion. And indeed, they did borrow some real estate tech to augment their own technology, their magical technology here. So there's a debate in the society over the next couple weeks and amongst the Alethi Alliance about using it to continue their research. But there's some that fear that the same bad thing that happened several thousand years ago, they just kind of disappear from the universe, might happen again. But they still want to investigate the tech. Pact worlds or Starfinder alliances with these people are not certain, but what is certain is you saved the planet's life. Countless Alethi, countless animals and creatures, and you did it with style. Did it with second edition grace.
Because now we can explore the planet and kill the creatures for ourselves.
This is just one of those many, very small adventures that I love Paizo for making, because you could just take this as your starting point, then boom, you have like 50 other adventures you can have on this planet with these characters. You got, you know, like five or six NPCs in this like little, how many pages is this? 16-page adventure. Society adventure. And you can just go on and keep having little Starfinder adventures right off of this start.
One of my favorite things to do if I'm like thinking about running a game or like wanting to make my own campaign is like finding society modules that take place near wherever I want to be and just use those as launch points into whatever you want to do. So you could, that would be cool.
Yes. I mean, you could do the same thing with Pathfinder, because their society adventures are happening like all over the world. But yeah, this one's fun because it adds a whole new people, a whole new planet to the Starfinder universe, but also ties in with the Civ Dominion. This is just playtest scenario number one of Starfinder Society 2E playtesting. There's three more of these smaller adventures and two much longer ones, basically the length of an AP volume that would like to get to eventually. Before we sign off today, I'm interested to hear how you guys enjoyed the Iconics and Starfinder Second Edition play. Tyler and Rebecca, I care about your opinions, but I also want to hear from Miles and Drew a lot because you guys have played very little Second Edition, period, not just Starfinder. Do you guys want to go around the horn and say a little something about it?
The second one.
I like the three action economy a lot. I have so far really liked the it's a level one envoy experience, and I had played Navasi in a previous playtest, mm-hmm. but they have taken the envoy and made it sort of turned them into something a little more like a little, you know, given them a little more, you know, the je ne sais quoi to do that. Things like the take cover action, you know, to the assets, the acquiring assets, which doesn't factor a lot in what we are doing in this, but I feel like that asset, you know, that whole system is going to factor into a lot of the envoy stuff moving forward, mm-hmm. which is really cool. Mm-hmm.
Miles, not a fan of Witch Warpers or
no, I mean, it's fine. I like the three action economy. I like that. It seems like you're more encouraged to kind of play with your character's abilities more than in the first edition, in how it plays. And I mean, for me, I just, so far as I haven't messed with that, with it too much, but, I did enjoy a lot of it. I mean, we're also running through the Pathfinder 2E character sheet. So I know some stuff might not be the same when.
Yeah, there's just a few skills. There's not much difference between them.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's an encouraging playtest. I'll be more interested when I build a character with it. But yeah, it is certainly a less obnoxious level one experience than previous.
Right. Tyler, Rebecca, what about you guys?
I love the three action economy, as everyone knows, I think at this point. I'm really enjoying the Solarian. It's different from first edition, but so I think good. I've played with Day a couple of times now because we played with Jenny as well. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. It's a fun character. Yes. I think they're well built and they've got a little personality. So that's fun.
And apparently they're a bass guitarist
in your according to me, yes.
We need some character art of a
concerned about their gigs.
Like an axe Solarian weapon so bad.
It would be, what was it? Mandy? Didn't Mandy have like a guitar? Miles? Didn't he have like a guitar that he used as a weapon?
At some point. Yeah. Nicolas Cage, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jason Voorhees used one in Friday the 13th, part 7.
Did he really? I forgot.
Eight. Sorry.
Eight. Miles is like, don't you get that so wrong. Close. How dare you?
We're so close.
Roman numerals are just so confusing, guys.
Tyler, we've played a lot of 2E together over the years. How are you liking Starfinder 2E? Not too different, right?
Not too different. I'm happy to see EAC go away. Sayonara. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Do all you guys miss stamina? Stamina slash.
Yeah, I do kind of miss the stamina.
Judging by my reaction to this episode tonight, yes, I do.
So that's one of the things that was turned into an alternative rule in Pathfinder Second Edition. But there are rules for stamina points. There are alternative rules, but you can we could play with those when if we want to in Starfinder second edition, I'm sure there's not as many, you know, like things that work with them. That makes sense. Right. Like not as many feats or what have you, but
I'm of two minds. So I like stamina, especially as you get up in the levels, because it is the upkeep for hit points gets annoying when it's like, well, you need to make medicine checks and then maybe I can cast this spell and, you know, what do we do in what order? How do we get these hit points back? And that kind of upkeep just isn't very fun for me or enjoyable. Whereas with stamina, it's like, I rest, I'm good to go. So I really like that. Just bam, you're done and you move on. However, I really do like the tension of like low level lethality that just comes with hit points, mm-hmm. of just being like you're level one, you're a nobody, and someone punches you in the mouth and you're almost dead. And that's the state you get to live in until you like can rest for a while.
But I do think that there is like in an MMO kind of way, there is this, because they seem to have buffed up Mystic so much that there is this idea that, oh, you guys don't have a dedicating healing class. Sorry, you're gonna be subject to so much trauma.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you mention that, and Jabir's not here, but we've played a lot of Pathfinder Second Edition in our IRL table, and we have because we have like six players at that table, a healer, quote unquote, in most parties, but usually they're healing spells. Are really just for combat, and everyone else does medicine checks outside of combat. Yeah. And some people are dedicated kind of medics in that way. And you know, there's things that reduces the cooldown on medicine checks from an hour to like 10 minutes. So there is not as much potion spamming in those editions. In fact, usually those are just used to like top off a lot of hit point pools or to take them, you know, in the worst case scenario in combat to try and get some back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy that treat wounds is there. And I do think that, you know, well, a party can't exist without a mystic as long as someone is paying attention to the medicine skill and treat wounds and the feats that revolve around it, that, you know, then I think you're fine. And it's nice that multiple people can do that, you know, if they have good medicine. Mm-hmm. But it also doesn't help that the fact that the mystic is just plain bonkers, man. I mean, like I feel like it's going to be, my worry is it is kind of like Drew was saying, is that it is going to be hard to balance for GMs combats, because you're going to have, if you don't have a mystic, then how you're going to be looking at these combats might be very different than if you have a healing focused mystic, because what they can do is just so ridiculous. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. I look at this from someone who nearly died in this combat in a way that, yes, level one combat is pretty deadly, but it's never been one attack does, well, I say it's never been, it obviously has been over the years.
Crits.
But one attack at level one does like death. If it had hit for the full amount, it would have been perma death amounts of damage.
So interestingly enough, and this has happened multiple times to Jabert in our IRL game, but at level one, if you go up against a CR3, CR4 monster, I think the Skoresh in this was level two or something, relatively tame. But if you go up to something that's an extreme level of difficulty, which is very possible, they can crit you on like, you know, 15, a 16, a 17, and
you're done,
are probably doing like a minimum your total hit points on that crit. At a maximum, they can do things like super massive damage, which can instantly kill you. But normally, if you're just crit and you go down to zero hit points, you go to the dying two condition, and then you have only basically 1 to 2 turns. Yeah. to get healed or to get stabilized before you die.
Or use a hero or use all your hero points.
And I don't know. I think it works really well in both a kind of like a hard fantasy world, like Pathfinder in some games, or in a gritty sci-fi adventure. You know, you take a well-placed sniper shot. Sniping is so insane in Starfinder 2E as well. Well-placed sniper shot, you could be down for the count and literally dead 6 seconds later, you know?
Yeah.
But and I'm happy I was going to say, that's the other thing that hero points are used for, is you can burn a hero point to automatically stabilize. So I do have players at my IRL table that hoard at least one hero point so they can, you know, keep their character alive, and others that that just burn them whenever they can, because, you know, there's pretty good supply of them.
The only two things I'll bring up just for so I have them verbally on the record is my request to remove the limits on augmentations and give and just let Kasothans use their arms. Paizo, just let them use their arms, man. It's not that big of an advantage.
What about Skittermanders? They got 150% of the arms that Kasothan has.
That's true. Let them use them. They're this tall. You can just kick them across the field. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
So what you're talking about is, unlike in 1E where you only have like one action or like a full attack in your turn, in Starfinder 2E, they're playing around with multiple arms. If you say if you're Skittermander and you have three two-handed weapons, which I think you could technically do, three two-handed weapons in between your six arms, you can't, with your three actions, take one shot with each of them. You can only do two. You have to spend one action kind of, you know,
right,
not aiming one and then aiming the other, like switching weapons with two arms. So for some folks that I can totally understand, that's what's the super advantage of having more than one arm. And really the only thing I could come up with is like, if you're disarmed of one weapon, you still have another one like immediately ready to go.
But you have more damage types readily available, but it's
not,
just
not really, because a swap action is just one action for other folks. So like, you don't have to have weapons out in that situation. I guess like if you're grappled or pinned or something, maybe like you wouldn't be able to pull out another weapon. But
again, it's just all those things. It ruins the cool factor of playing one of those classes and being just like,
Ancestries.
Ancestries. Yeah, thank you. Of just, you know, being this multi-armed individual that has hamstrings immediately out of the gate so hard.
You're not playing a Kasothan or a Skittermander. We know you.
And I never will.
It is like a complaint that's never gonna. Does anybody
I'm standing all the others out there.
Before you sign off, any other Starfinder 2E playtest feedback or anything else to say about this scenario? I really enjoyed this little intro. It's very Star Trek-y, Drew. Burnham's bubble sounds like a Star Trek planet.
Well, I mean, Michael Burnham from Star Trek Discovery.
It's spelled differently, but yes.
Well, I didn't know that because I didn't see it spelled out.
Yeah, but no, it just sounds like, we've arrived at Burnham's bubble far in the vast for an exploration mission. And oh my gosh, their sky is glass and it's breaking. Dun, dun, dun. Mr. Spock's eyebrow raises up. Curious, Captain.
I mean, they probably would question why a magical barrier breaks and then slams into the ground as a physical object. But, you know, whatever.
Because the energy is frozen quantumly. I don't know what you don't understand about this, Drew. That's standard sci-fi logic.
It's, you don't understand
frozen quantum in class
mechanics.
Right. So I think that's it for our Starfinder 2E play testing for right. Probably going to dive back into it before too long, and maybe with different players, because Olav
in like 2.5 weeks. Yeah.
Olav September, I think everyone is taking some vacation time over the month. And then we're the majority of us reconvening for Crittermander 7, which when this episode comes out will be Critter-Con 7. When does this episode come out? It'll be basically the next week when this episode comes out, Critter-Con Lucky Number 7. So we will probably have some more of our regular feed episodes, and then the next adventure that we are going to be doing, whoever is playing it, is called It Came from the Vast. Is a Jessica Catalan adventure, another Starfinder Society adventure, but this one is designed for 5th level characters, which means you guys will have a lot more hit points and abilities.
But so will your baddies, Patrick.
Oh, I'm very excited. Yes.
No.
Yeah, so those are the two. Probably we're just going to do these two this year, and then there's two more that are coming out in September and October that we'll get to eventually. But that's going to do it for this week's episode, I think. Guys, thank you for playing with me.
Thank you,
Patrick. Thank you. Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for listening for our little second edition dalliances. We will catch you next week for some more Cosmic Crit. See you later.
Bye.
Listening to Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.